Good morning. I kind of hate to end your conversations. I'm telling you, it's like family got back together and we got stuff to talk about. And so we're grateful for that. Hey, I want to tell you, first of all, that Pastor Jim really wanted to be here this morning. He is ready to finish up Habakkuk. I know he has promised you the answers to all of your most pressing questions in life. And so hopefully those can wait for a couple of weeks because I'm not getting to them today. Let me tell you, he just nearly made it. I think his son and son-in-law had to set him down and go, "Nah, you don't have to be there." But he wanted to be here with you this morning. We're going to be looking this morning at Matthew chapter 11, just three verses. Don't worry, it'll be fast. You'll still beat the Methodists to lunch. You don't have to worry about that. And we're going to be looking at an invitation that Jesus gives to us. And it's kind of an interesting invitation. It's kind of unique. It's probably not the way that you and I would do it, but isn't that the case with a lot of things with Jesus? He does it a little different than we would do it. I guess it's good we're not God. No, I know that, actually. So I want to start with a couple of questions just to kind of see who's in the room this morning. Anyone here that's worn out, tired, burnt out? You just got back from vacation. I asked that question at Robeson this morning, and someone said, "Look where you're at." Anyone stressed out? A little bit. Anyone feel like they're carrying a burden that's a little bit heavy this morning? Oh, good, I'm not alone. And neither are you. And so the invitation that Jesus makes is very specifically to those who express that thing right there. So I want to start, let's pray and invite Jesus into right where we're at. Lord Jesus, your people come to you this morning with concerns, stresses, and burdens. Lord, they've made us weary, some of us to the point that it feels hopeless. Today, we invite you into all of these things. Jesus, we invite you into our fears and frustrations. We invite you into our anxiety. We invite you into our stress. God, we know that personal contact with Jesus changes everything. So we come to you, Lord Jesus, in joyful surrender and ask you to have your way in our lives. Holy Spirit, plow the hard ground of our hearts and our circumstances. We joyfully accept the word that is being planted in our lives, and we choose to follow you daily. Have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you'll flip in your Bible to Matthew chapter 11, and the invitation we're going to talk about from Jesus, it's an invitation to rest. I gave it away early. It's an invitation to a real rest. The people of God had been promised rest all through their history, all through the nation of Israel. They were promised rest, and they'd have short periods of it when they followed God's direction, and then they would disobey, and they would not experience rest. And they went back and forth out of that. And so Jesus comes, and he brings the rest that our hearts have longed for. And that God's people have longed for generations. Jesus offers to do for us what we are incapable of doing for ourselves. Here's what he says, Matthew 11:28. "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." We're going to look really at two things. So like I said, it's going to go quick today. I think I have the record for the shortest sermon in the history of New Life. And so we might compete with that today. The first thing I want to look at is who this invitation from Jesus is to. Okay, it's a pretty simple one. Jesus calls to all who are weary and burdened. And in the very next verse, he says, all of you. I've yet to find a place in Scripture where Jesus calls the ones who have it all together. Right? He always called the unlikely. He always called the ones who needed him. Because in reality, we all do. Anything other than that is just a facade. We don't have it all together. We may go through a period that feels pretty good, but we weren't designed to live without him. And every life at some point will crash into something bigger than itself. Jesus invites the weary. Now, not to get real technical in this, but that word weary in the original text was in what's called a present continuous tense. Okay? That probably is pretty easy to figure out. It means that they are weary and they keep getting weary. I'm weary now. And by the way, tomorrow and the next day, I'm going to continue being weary. It's a picture of a treadmill. You can tell I need to spend a little more time on one, but I have been on one before. And here's what happens when you get on a treadmill, right? You put in the effort. You put in the sweat. But do you go anywhere? No. Not a problem. Turn it faster. We can go nowhere faster, right? And that's what weary is like. That's what happens when we try to fill the voids that are in our life on our own. We put in the effort, we sweat, but we don't go anywhere. Does that feel like life to anybody right now? Jesus is calling to you. Not only are they weary, the ones he calls are burdened. They're carrying a heavy weight that was not made for them. Jesus is about to introduce a picture, and so I want you to kind of get it in your mind. He talks about a yoke, okay? And a yoke, we probably all can picture something like that, used to take two animals and put them together so that their effort works together. In those days, it would have been wooden. I don't really know what they're made of today, but in those days it would have been wooden. Jesus was a carpenter. I wonder if he built some of those. And it would lay across the back of two animals, across their shoulders, and it would keep them where they were going in the same direction, at the same pace, and pulling the same kind of weight. He calls to the weary and to the burdened. There's a couple other places that that picture of a yoke is mentioned in the New Testament. One of them is in Acts 15. Peter talks about the requirements of the law as a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors were able to bear. In Matthew 23, Jesus references it when he accuses the Pharisees of crushing people with unbearable religious demands and never lifting a finger to ease the burden. The Jewish people would have recognized that language of a yoke because they referred to the law as a yoke. They believed that when you were yoked, when you were in line with the law, that it brought freedom. And they were so committed to it that not only did they take the laws that were in the Old Testament, but they added to them. Right? Because there was obviously not enough for us to try to keep up with. And it got heavy on people, and they realized they couldn't keep up with it. Listen, we're all wearing a yoke. I don't know if you've noticed, but this life isn't always a picnic. Sometimes it's hard. Ever since sin entered the world and we made a choice to not do things God's way, life's been hard. Living up to people's standards wears us down. So we look for a savior that lowers the standards, right? It's not what Jesus did, right? Because he said, if, you know, it's wrong to commit adultery, if you have lust in your heart, you sinned. If it's wrong to strike out at someone in anger, to be have angry thoughts towards them is a sin. Jesus takes it further. So if you thought that living up to people's standards wears us down, living up to God's standards of perfection, not only in action, but in motivation and thought, is impossible. That wooden yoke doesn't fit us well. It cuts into our shoulders, and we wince with the pain of every step. And it's ineffective. It doesn't get us anywhere. Our best efforts to clean ourselves up, the Bible says, and make ourselves presentable are like filthy rags. We just make a bigger mess. You ever tried to clean something up with filthy rags? It doesn't do very much. Sometimes that burden was placed on us. Sometimes we willingly picked it up and placed it on. Listen to this. You suffer now because your present masters, the world system, Satan, and your own sinful nature are haughty, proud, and domineering. They are never satisfied. They are not interested in what is best for you. They are fighting against the peace and rest your heart longs for and was created for. Sickness, pain, broken relationships, hardship are part of this life. We have burdens. And when we try to fix those on our own, it just gets worse. And we just get more hopeless. And we just get more weary. All right, all that was great and discouraging. So let's talk about Jesus' invitation. Okay? We'll end on a high note. Let's look at what Jesus invites us to. The first invitation is simple. It's to come to him. Come to Jesus. Not to a religious ceremony, not to a church, not to a program, but to him as a person. Makes sense once you see and know the character of Jesus. And then when you hear that his invitation to the weary and burdened to come to him is not hard to follow when we're encouraged that he will give us rest. Take a breath. Invite Jesus into your situation. Personal contact with Jesus changes everything. And the rest that Jesus gives is different than the rest we take. I was talking to John and Chandra, I always say your name wrong. I'm so sorry. And I practiced that and still got it wrong. Thank you. So they go to Cabo and they, you know, have their toes in the sand. They watch whales, all that kind of stuff. And had an incredible time. They brought home 30 degree temperatures. Thank you guys so much. But the flight home was grueling. So they come home and they need a nap. You know, you went to rest, right? You come home and you need a nap. But isn't that the way it is when we try to create rest in our lives? Is that a lot of times it's temporary. We got some great memories and some great pictures, but we're right back in the middle of it. It doesn't last. And our soul is looking for a rest that lasts. So the second part of Jesus' invitation is where we start to scratch our heads. When he invites us to take up his yoke and learn from him. Wait, what? We were hoping he was going to smash the yokes. Remember, we talked about we're all under them and they're too heavy for us and they don't fit well. So what I came to the Savior for was that he would get me out of that thing. And his invitation is, come take up my yoke. Told you Jesus does it a little bit different than we would. If we rewrote this scripture, it might say something like, take up my beach chair complete with umbrella and I'll give you rest, right? Take up your recliner. That's not what he says. Following Jesus requires work, but the work he gives us is fitting for us and his burden is light. Let's go back to that yoke picture. If you're like me, when you saw it, you saw two animals of equal size, side by side. Probably a plow going behind it, right? And so that's kind of the first thing that we thought of. But if we're taking up Jesus' yoke, it's not two animals of equal size and ability. There's a whole different deal. And this is why he says, take up my yoke and learn from me. I saw a video of a young ox being trained, being broken to the yoke. It was such a cool deal because what they did is they took a large ox that was trained. It knew what it was doing. It knew the program, and they put it on the left side of the yoke. And then they took a young ox that they were trying to train, and they put it in the right side of the yoke. And then there was something they did, and I can't really explain it to you, but it's something in the way they connected the yoke to the plow that put most of the weight on the left side. So the ox who knows what he's doing takes off, and the one in the right just starts following. He's bearing just a little bit of the weight, but he gets the joy of the work. You see the picture? So when Jesus says, take up my yoke and learn from me, he's in the left side. The weight is being pulled on his side. I'm not learning from a book. I'm not learning from being taught a Bible study. I'm learning from walking with Jesus. I'm learning because as I'm going through life, I'm looking to the left and he's there. And when I'm yoked with him, I'm facing the same way he's facing. I'm going the same direction he's going. Oh, and get this. I'm going at the pace he's going. Now there's a real rest. There's a real rest. Jesus' discipleship is not the oppressive burden of Pharisaic legalism. But instead, it turns the load of life into one that is manageable. Jesus does not release his disciples from burdens, just as he did not escape the burdens of human life in his incarnation. Illness and calamity and tragedy remain a part of this fallen world until the end. But for those in the kingdom of heaven, there is a promise of Jesus sustaining help as we carry his yoke of discipleship. He invites us, take my yoke upon you. Notice he doesn't put it on us. It's something that we decide. We place on ourselves. It's a definite act on the part of one who is seeking rest from Christ and without which his rest cannot be obtained. It's a specific act of mind, an act of conscious surrender to his authority, to be ruled only by him. Jesus tells us that his yoke is easy. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. That word easy can be translated well-fitting. Well-fitting. If you went to Jesus' carpenter shop, maybe there was a sign above it that said, my yokes fit well. Tailor-made. They're made just for you. Thank you, babe. It makes our burden light. Why? Because Jesus is pulling all the weight. When we are yoked with Jesus, both our direction, our view, and our pace are correct. If you're a follower of Jesus, and you've willingly taken on Jesus' yoke, and you're suffering under the weight of the burden on your shoulders, first thing you need to do is look to the left. Is it possible that you're pulling away from Jesus? Is it possible that you're pulling ahead of Jesus? Or is it possible he's having to drag you along? God puts great desires in our life, and sometimes we try to fulfill them on our own. And when we do, we feel weight that we shouldn't have to feel. The load is appropriate. It's not effortless, but you are not alone. As a follower of Jesus, you are loved and never alone. And you're never pulling the heavy part of the load. When we start to feel weary and burdened, we need to look to the left and find Jesus there. We can willingly yoke ourselves to Jesus because of his character. He says that he is gentle and humble of heart. Unlike the domineering previous masters, he has our best interests at heart. When Jim went away on his sabbatical, this passage became really meaningful to him. And when he came back, he shared it. The first time I think I've ever heard Jim Mann say anything out of the message. It was kind of a different thing. It caught my attention. But he read this passage and it said this: "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." I didn't mention this earlier. We talked about weary being a present continuous. Learn also is the same tense. The invitation of Jesus is to get off the treadmill that's wearing you out and to take a walk with Jesus to some in a way that's going somewhere that has purpose. Let's pray. I know it's possible in a room this size that I'm speaking to someone today that has never asked Jesus to be the Lord of their life. And they're battling under an old yoke that doesn't fit well. And so if that's you this morning, I just want to give you that opportunity. You can trade that in today. You can trade that in. Jesus loves you. You've seen the picture in communion of what he's done to pay the price for your sin. So if that's you this morning, I would just invite you to pray this. Just say, "Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I need you. I know the way I've been living life isn't working. Lord, I accept the penalty you took for my sin, and I accept your free gift of salvation. God, I want to walk with you. I want to be yoked with you. I want to be submitted to you. I want to look to the left and see you there. Jesus, save me. Walk with me every day of my life. In Jesus' name." If you prayed that prayer, there'll be folks at the front after the service that you can share that with. And they'll talk to you about baptism. They'll pray with you. That'll be your next step. For others of us, we have been trying really hard at life, and we've worn ourselves out. We've trusted Jesus, but sometimes we take the reins back. And Jesus' invitation to us today is to submit again to him, to walk with him, to not carry the burdens alone. Jesus, thank you that we're loved and not alone. Thank you for the invitation to real rest. God, we need it, and we look for that. Forgive us where we've pulled away, where we've pulled ahead, Lord, where you've had to drag us along. We want to keep pace with you. God, forgive our stubborn will. We submit to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here this morning. We're so glad you were here. We'll continue to update you on Jim and Christine. And thank you so much for praying for them. I know that means the world to them. I'm looking for Jacob Creech. Jacob Creech always gets excited at the end of the service when we do the thing. That's the benediction. So we're going to do the thing. What's that? He's in tech. Jacob, this is for you, man. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. And the Lord give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen.